Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob.
Talking.Golf is sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Why is that? Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjock.com. Wherever you may be joining us here on this weekend, around Wisconsin, around the country, we welcome you to Talking.Golf. I'm Rob Hernandez, joined by Gary D'Amato. And Gary, we'll get to a weather forecast in just a little bit because depending on when people are listening this weekend, there is actually snow falling as we record this on Friday night in northern Wisconsin. But it was low 80s, actually mid-80s, and sunny today at Phoenix Country Club for the second round of the Charles Schwab Cup Championship. And I had the chance to watch Jerry Kelly fashion a second consecutive 67. He is currently tied for sixth after two rounds. He is five shots behind former, actually inaugural, American Family Insurance Championship winner Kirk Triplett entering the weekend. Steven Elker, two shots behind Triplett. And then tied for third, the senior tour heavyweights of Jim Furyk and Phil Mickelson. Gary D'Amato, 2 days left in the competitive season as it relates to professional golf in the United States after these all these wraparound seasons, and Jerry Kelly is in the mix.
Rob, I'm jealous that you're out there in the sunshine of Phoenix watching golf, and I was battling rush hour traffic in a blizzard today. So way to go. We have to have someone in our Phoenix office, and sometimes I wish it was me, Rob, but. Good work on reporting on Jerry and his wife, Carol. That was a good story today.
And we will get to a message that I have for you from one of your many fans that I saw in the Charles Schwab Cup gallery here in a little bit, but we'll tackle the serious stuff first because a couple weeks ago when Jerry Kelly pulled out of the Dominion Energy Charity Classic in Virginia, we knew something was up because Jerry Kelly just doesn't pull out of golf tournaments very often. And but it was for a good reason. His wife, Carol, diagnosed with kidney cancer, had her right kidney removed that week. And by all accounts, according to Jerry talking to me yesterday, they got most of it. He said the cancer was as big as the actual kidney itself. And But they're continuing to kind of, you know, analyze the tissue around that and make sure that nothing got elsewhere. They're a little bit worried because Carol did have a melanoma, a skin cancer on her right leg a couple years ago. So there may be some, some history there that the doctors just want to be careful with. But Jerry had his heart in the right place to start off this PGA Tour Champions Playoffs. It, he's not in contention for the overall title, but he's happy to be back out there in part, Gary, because Carol's just a few miles away at their winter home here in the Phoenix area.
Yeah, Rob, so glad to hear that and reading your story that that it's a very optimistic and positive outlook for Carol, that that's more important than anything that Jerry would ever do on a golf course, obviously. So that was really good to learn.
And I try to do a little research, online, and it's, always hard to know, how to interpret these, survival rates and the percentages. Carol is as healthy as they come. And, but one website, a medical website said, 93% chance, especially when you catch it early. And Jerry was saying that it's just a rare form of cancer, at least the kind that Carol had. And, that's why he said that, there are, fewer than 20 that the doctors that they were working with have ever seen, period, not just in a year. So that's good news. And he's hoping that Carol will be out by week's end to at least, make an appearance at Phoenix Country Club. His Jerry's son, Cooper, was made his Charles Schwab Cup Championship debut. I forgot. He's never been here. Jerry has some of the biggest galleries, Gary, and not big, but most loyal and consistent galleries and for this thing. And a little different makeup this year. Cooper's here. Carol's not. Jim Schumann here. His wife, Nancy, though, spending a little time with Carol. Shu just spending a couple weeks here in the Phoenix area. He's not going to winter here, at least immediately. The very successful club professional from Blue Mountain Country Club, the teaching pro there. He's got parents who are getting up there in age too, so they're going to spend the holidays back in Wisconsin. But always fun to see Jerry Kelly's gallery, and he's giving them something to cheer about. He's, you know, a pair of 67s isn't that bad. And honestly, Gary, you know, he hit 13 of 14 greens in round one, 13 of 14 fairways, 16 of 18 greens. There aren't many putts being holed here at Phoenix Country Club. I can't figure out why he tried to explain it to me, and I'm going to write about it or try to write about it. It has to do with the fact that the greens fall off on the edges, and you think it breaks towards those fall offs, but then the grain takes over. And I can vouch for the grain because we have a lot of grain in these greens out here. They're not like the great greens that you get to putt back there in Wisconsin, and that are always, you know, smooth when they're, you know, when they're that bent grass. And he just, I mean, he had to have missed six birdie putts each of the first two rounds that he could have made, but a lot of guys can say that. And the bottom line is he's in the mix, and nobody's run away with this thing. Kirk Triplett a little bit, but Kirk Triplett is predicting 20 under is going to win this thing. So there's a lot of golf left to be played.
Rob, is Phoenix Country Club, that's one of the older courses in Phoenix, isn't it? Do you know who designed it by any chance?
Yeah, let me go to that. I can tell you that it was, I think it was the early to mid 20s. And when it was, wow. When it was initially built, redesigned by Tom Lehman a few years ago.
Okay.
And, I thought I pulled off here. Let me see.
That's got to be, Phoenix had to have 50,000 people when that course was built, I would think, you know, 100 years ago or 90 years ago.
Well, that's what someone said. That was because, you know, it's right now in the heart of town. You couldn't put another hole or another, you know, tee box in this thing. And it's in impeccable shape, and everybody to a man has talked about how you know, the great condition that it's in. And and I'm trying to find here, I pulled off the from the Golf Course Superintendents Association, there was a fact sheet for this thing, and of course I can't find it here as we record this, but 1920s and then a redesign, you know, probably about 10, 15 years ago by Lehman. And I'll try to dig that up. But it reminds me a lot of Maple Bluff. It reminds me a lot of Milwaukee Country Club. In terms of Milwaukee Country Club has a little more elevation, I think, to it. This has virtually no elevation. And these guys just hit fairways and greens, and then it becomes a putting contest. And right now, Triplett is leading that thing. And the Stephen Elker, who's been, you know, a great story, didn't have any status here a couple months ago, earn enough money to get in the playoffs and then wins the second event to really secure his status for the next couple of years. Now everything else is gravy. The other storyline here, Gary, that I think you and I can associate with is Bernhard Langer, who comes in here number one. And it was going to take a lot for people to catch him. And right now, if the tournament were in tomorrow, he'd be number two behind Jim Furyk. But he's 64 years old and also came up with a bad back this week. And I overheard his caddy telling Billy Ray Brown yesterday that it happens about once a year where he just, you know, wakes up stiff. And boy, I tell you what, in round one, he had to squat down to put the tee in the ground. And I think you and I have both had back spasms at times, and that's what he's dealing with. And that's no fun, is it?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I'm amazed that he could even, you know, play at the level he's playing at if his back is bad. Those guys, they can gut it out, I'll tell you that. But yeah, that can't be easy. You know, especially when you have to take a good cut at the ball or hit a ball out of the rough, that's got to be painful.
Heard him say that it was easier with the driver than with the wedges because of the amount of pressure on the back as you swing those clubs, which I never stopped to think about which club is going to be less painful to swing. And I saw in the transcripts overnight that he called it probably the most painful round of golf on Thursday in the last 32 years in possibly wow. career. And that's saying a lot. And this is a guy who's just, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago in Virginia, you know, became the oldest golfer to win on the senior tour at age 64. And he looks in great shape. It just looks a little stiff this week. So it's going to be a fun weekend. And, you know, Jerry is, you know, dabbling as he always does. Can you believe it, Gary? Jerry's yeah. dabbling with the putter and he's working on stuff. And he's trying and you'll like this, you know, he always gets ripped because he's jumping around the second he hits a putt. And a lot of times I think he's probably jumping around as he's hitting the putt. And that's yeah. keeping him from making probably a few more putts than he should. And he's trying to do a couple things, shortening the swing, I think he said, on the putter, you know, so that, you know, there isn't as much associated with that movement. And, but boy, we've been seeing this for years out of this guy, but he's just a guy that gets, you know, he wants to see where that ball's going, right? We all do.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how many times Jerry has found it, you know, and then he plays pretty good for a while. And then whatever he found, he loses. And then he latches onto something else. Rob, I think Jerry Kelly has set a PGA Tour / Champions Tour record for most swing tinkering or swing changes in the history of golf. You and I both know it. We've heard it. He's probably made 1,000 little changes in his swing, but the guy keeps battling and keeps finding ways to get better. It's he's amazing. He really is.
It was at this tournament about 2 years ago, maybe three, that he came off of a tough round, and he was really fired up because he thought he found it. And he was talking to Jim Schumann and talking about different stages of the takeaway. And I got done listening to it. And I said, Jim, what did he say? And Jim looked at me, he goes, I've got no idea. So, you know,
that's Jerry.
But if it works for Jerry, and again, I think what he's doing this week is so indicative of his career. Here's a guy that's shot two consecutive rounds of 400 par while his wife is, you know, battling this, you know, this health issue and a very serious one that has them both kind of scared still until they know that they can get the all clear. And here he is hanging around and T6, he started out T9 at one point today, dropped down to like T16 and made it again, birdied the last hole again and vaulted up into that top six. And, you know, who knows? I mean, there's a lot of birdies out here at Phoenix Country Club and Jerry Kelly is starting to find them. So that's what's up here on Talking.Golf. What's up is powered by our Instagram page at wis.golf, Megan Augustine, who another one down here in the Phoenix area. And we'll dive into that more with Gary D'Amato to find out why he's not here in a second. But Megan is continuing to grow our Instagram audience, and everything that you see in a headline gets a push out to Instagram. And honestly, what that gets is a lot of looks from our younger readers, and we appreciate all the work that Megan does. We invite you to follow along at wis.golf. And Gary, I'll start. Who do you run to? The Schwab Cup. I'm going to start with a couple of our friendly club pros. Chris Goodwick, who had a number of courses, especially in the Lake Geneva area over the course of his long career. And Chuck Demir, who I met for the first time, been Facebook friends for a long time. And, you know, Chuck has been in the Phoenix area here for a few years. And he has a message for you, question for you, Gary. He wants to know why a guy like you is not down here in Phoenix enjoying the good life through the winter. You know, here we are. We'll get to this weather forecast in a bit, but there's not much golf left to be played. He thinks that you'd be a happier man down here in Phoenix. But I understand you and Chuck go back a long way, so he can say that to you.
Yeah, Chuck's a great guy. I've known Chuck. We went to Whitewater together, Rob, way back when. He was a bartender at one of the popular watering holes in Whitewater, and he slipped me. I think he actually was – he might have been a journalism major. Fancy that. He became a golf professional. He was at Hawks View for a long time,
and then
moved down to the Phoenix area. Is he in Palm Springs or Phoenix?
He's in Phoenix here, and I'm not sure which course, but
great guy.
And he and Chris were yucking it up, and then I think Chuck also said that he spent some time at Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan, and
that's right.
You know, these guys, you know, characters to say the least, and. Just a couple of the people that I met, and Gary, I'll run through my list. Yesterday when I got here, you know, so they've had some, you know, staffing reassignments in the PGA Tour media office. Our good friend Chris Richards now in charge of forecasting for PGA Tour University. And that's the point system that allows the top college seniors to earn a status on some of the tours here on the PGA Tour. And so among the several people that are filling Chris's shoes, Allie LeClaire, who I met yesterday, she's from Two Rivers. So another member of Scotty Nation on the PGA Tour Champions media staff. So Allie doing a great job and helping out the crew there. And then today I'm standing at the first tee and a young lady comes up to me and her name's Michelle Madden. Way back in the day, she and her sister Ashley, who we covered a couple years ago in her efforts to try to make it on the Symetra Tour, they learned how to golf at the Bridges Golf Course with my kids in the USGA LPGA program that is very popular, getting especially young girls involved in golf. And both Ashley and Michelle went on to the Savannah College of Art and Design to play college golf after their time at Wanakee. And now Michelle in working, I think she said 35 weeks a year on the road with Golf Channel. And so she's in the business and you never know. And of course I mentioned Jim Schumann following along this week, and Jerry Kelly gave him great, much credit as he always does for, kind of getting his at least swing back into shape. I asked Jim if he has any input in the putting, and he says he tries not to. It's kind of a Jerry thing, but I saw Jim at the putting green with Jerry there afterwards. So maybe there was some input being given. And last, but a couple stories here. Jordan Hahn followed along today, and Jordan had been out playing at the TPC Scottsdale in the morning with Nick Hardy, a former Illinois golfer, and a guy named Michael Feagles, who's been on the Korn Ferry Tour and some of the satellite tours as well. And Jordan was telling me that he'll try to qualify for next week's RSM Classic at St. Simon Island, Georgia. That's the next event of the fall schedule. But the noteworthy thing that he said is that his Korn Ferry Tour status expires on January 1st. And then he does have some Canadian Tour status if and when that fires up again. But it's that time of year, Gary, where some of these guys are trying to look ahead to 2022. And you just sometimes don't know what the future holds. So we hope that Jordan has a successful venture on Monday in the qualifier for the PGA Tour event next week.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a guy with a ton of talent, Rob. You and I both watched him play golf. He has got a beautiful swing. And, he's a tall dude. He's like 6'7", right? 6'6", 6'7".
6'7", 6'8". I mean, he gets taller every time I see him. The first time I actually met Jordan Hahn, he was caddying for a member of the Badger women's golf team at the U.S. Women's Amateur at San Diego Country Club. And I go, holy Moses, this guy's huge. Yeah. And it was funny today because I was walking with a friend and then Jordan, and came across the guy who I can't remember, one of the guys in our group was wearing a Badger, thing because he was following Jerry. And so we were recognized as being from Wisconsin. And the guy looks at Jordan and goes, "You must play basketball." And my buddy said, "You aren't going to believe what he plays." And the guy looks at him again, sizes him up, goes, "Soccer?" I haven't seen any 6'8", 6'7" soccer players either. And then, of course, we told him that, this guy's a professional golfer. So, and Jordan gets that a lot. And, and then he gets compared to Jordan Niebrugge, who's not exactly a short dude either.
Right.
Same name and everything. And both have played the Korn Ferry Tour. So, it's always fun to hang around Jordan Hahn. My wife's 4'10". She wasn't with us today, or 4'11". But that'd be another contrast in sizes as well. But fun to see Jordan, and good to see he's working hard. And we talked about, tournament players courses, the TPC courses that, these guys have access to. And it seems like the PGA Tour is kind of, ratcheting down the rules a little bit. He was, walking me through what he can and can't do at the TPC Scottsdale. That's how he came to be followed Jerry, as they played some golf together out there now that Jerry lives in the area, and as does Jordan. And but he's going to lose some of those privileges January 1st when his Korn Ferry Tour status expires. As I mentioned, he's got some Canadian Tour status, but you don't think about those things, do you, Gary, when these guys are trying to make it on tour?
No, you don't. And talking to Michael Burson, his coach at Wisconsin, a few years back, Michael picked Jordan as sort of a guy who had all the tools to succeed and make it to the PGA Tour. So you know, we're going to keep our eyes on Jordan because obviously a really, really talented young man. And you know, it's so tough though. Like we look at the Corn Ferry Tour, Rob, and some guys who don't have status anymore, like Jordan Ebrugge. There's another guy we thought was a can't miss, and he still might be. I mean, the window is not closed on Jordan Ebrugge yet, but boy, that just shows how tough it is to get to the top level of golf. It's really, people don't understand how difficult it is.
And I can remember speaking to Jim Schumann, you know, he was an inaugural member of what is now the Corn Ferry Tour. Of course, it was the Ben Hogan Tour when it first started. And, you know, the neat thing about the Ben Hogan Tour compared to, you know, the PGA Tour was that, you know, at that time, the money wasn't bad. It was much better than anything else these guys that were trying to make it on the PGA Tour were playing for. And you could make a pretty good living out there. Now, with inflation, with the cost of travel and hotels and meals, you know, it's barely a break even proposition. And I just, you know, I felt for Jordan and as he was, you know, describing, you know, kind of the hoops he's got to jump through, wasn't able to, like, I think you wrote in Sweet Spot, I think we were, what, 8 for 9 Wisconsin guys getting through the first stage, and then Zach Burry of Appleton didn't make it through the second stage. So we've got no one on the Corn Ferry Tour, no one regular on the PGA Tour in 2022. So, but a lot of guys that are trying. In fact, I saw on social media this week, Gary, Dan Tolan, Matt Tolan's dad, posted some pictures of Matt and Emmett Herb out of Middleton. Of course, Matt Tolan, the former state amateur champion, they're both embarking on a professional career, and they're going to base themselves out here in the Valley, here in Phoenix, and see what they can play. It's, you know, it like you said, it isn't easy. You got to try to make money to get, you know, enough money to pay for tour school at the end of the year. And then there's, you know, 3 stages of that and no guarantees. And same on the women's side.
Yeah. You look at a guy like Mike Fancik, who won 5 college tournaments at Marquette, was an All-American, and you know, shot a couple 60s to win, I think, the Western Pennsylvania State Open, shot a 60 in the final round to win that tournament, shot a 60 at Ozaukee Country Club in a practice round. You know, that's a young man who could take it deep, and just really never made it for one reason or another. I think he's still playing a little bit. I saw his name recently in somewhere, but
he's actually in the PGA Assistance National Championship down at Port St. Lucie.
Okay.
With Joaquin Diaz out of Milwaukee and David Bach out of the Sheboygan area. And
there you go. Yeah.
And not doing too badly either. And that's, you know, again, another route that some of these guys have to take after they've given it their run. And the thing, you know, you mentioned Mike, and, you know, we know his dad, Gary, so well from our days, his days at the Milwaukee Journal and our days covering golf with him. And, you know, Mike did a wonderful job of articulating the challenges. You know, there'd be, you know, times when he'd shoot 67 in a Monday qualifier and missed by 4, you know, and yeah. I mean, it was just amazing.
Yeah. The talent is so deep. People, it's just, people don't understand how difficult it is just to get some status and then stay on a tour, because we've had guys on the Corn Ferry Tour who have lost their status. It is just, it's a hard way to make a living. And your heart goes out to guys when they don't have a place to play, but they're hard and passionate, and they put everything into the game. And all they need is a break. They need to play, you know, just well at the right times. These are guys who can shoot 63 any day of the week, but then you got to do it in the 1 week when it counts to get you on a tour. And that's the challenge.
And we'll have 2 more names to throw at you in our What's Next segment coming up in just a little bit. One last name I wanted to mention that I met here today, Gary, a guy named Mike DeRocious. And he is a national account manager, Sports West, for Sony, and works with professional sports teams, college sports teams, on a lot of the video and images that these teams use to, you know, scout teams and everything, you know, using the technology. He was out there with 3D binoculars looking at Jerry Kelly.
Wow.
And he had a great story. He was there specifically for Jerry Kelly. He was wearing a Packer a long sleeve shirt that he got from Packers coach. Help me out here, Gary. It's been a while since we've ripped on him.
One Matt, of the coaches?
Yeah. Packer head coach, Matt LaFleur. Thank you very little. I've been all about golf this week, so I'm not even thinking about the Packers.
Right.
Popper over there. But he was wearing, they said Matt gave him that top he was wearing. But Mike met Jerry Kelly on a flight. I think they were going to Hawaii together. They wound up sitting next to each other in first class. Mike had gotten bumped up. Jerry was sitting there waiting for him, and they sat next to each other. And this is very indicative of you know, guys that Jerry Kelly has met. He's such a personable guy, you know, a lot of the times, and has really, you know, mastered the art of networking. And he has some amazing people that, yeah, well, look at his friendship with Aaron Rodgers, speaking of the Packers, and their longtime partnership over at Pebble Beach. And then, you know, getting the sponsorship from Cologuard and Exact Sciences, and then, you know, ultimately being a tournament host at the event down the road in Tucson. But Mike said that they struck up a friendship. In fact, and Mike happened to be in the area, and Jerry said, come on by. And they were planning it, you know, Jerry invited him over to the house tonight for dinner. And again,
wow,
you know, you just, you never know who you're going to meet. And in this wacky world of professional golf, but boy, Mike was a real nice guy, and a huge Jerry Kelly fan, and really admires, like we all do, the path that Jerry's taken to get where he's at.
When are you going to get your dinner invite from Jerry?
I knew you were going to ask that. When you come down, him. Mister, when you come down, you, all me, right, and Chuck DeMure are going over to Jerry's house and knocking on the door.
It's a deal. It's a deal.
And last but not least, this what's up thing is far too long for a November Talking.Golf, isn't it, Gary?
Yeah, it is, but we're having fun.
We're having fun. But let's review quickly. It was a National Signing Day the other day. Any thoughts on the Badgers class? What is it? One Pennsylvania, one Georgia, one North Carolina, two guys in the top 200. And, you know, and this is overall among all junior golfers, you know, and then one kind of long shot from Georgia, at least in my estimation. And but Mike Wilson seemed pretty fired up about him in the Twitter comments that were sent out by UW Badger, or the Badger men's golf account. I mean, it looks good to me. I thought first impressions. First of all, he's the first guy to tweet anything about any recruits in the state, and it shows he's been doing his work.
Yeah, you know, and talking to Mike a couple months ago, you know, he kind of told me the kind of player he'd like to go after and like to recruit. And he said, length is a big deal. He wants guys who hit it a long way. He wants big physical guys who, you know, can move the golf ball. So I don't know much about the guys that he recruited, but I bet, Rob, that they move the ball and that they hit it a long way. That's the kind of player that I think Mike is trying to get to come to Wisconsin.
Well, and I think the you know, the two that, you know, kind of fit that mold, you know, is the kid out of North Carolina, Spencer Turts. He seems to be a little bit bigger, stockier. He's number 147 in the country. And then Pennsylvania's Carter Pitcairn is number 200. He looks, you know, just in the picture that was put out of him signing his national letter of intent, he looks more like a Cameron Huss type. And
yeah,
Cameron Huss can still hit the ball a long way. As Tiger Woods has shown, you don't need to be a, you know, Bryson DeChambeau with, you know, Popeye muscles to blast it out there. So I like the, you know, the resume, you know, guys that have played either in the U.S. Junior AM or the PGA Junior National Championship. That was pretty good. And so that was optimistic. Badger women's coach Todd Erline goes to South Carolina to land Alexia Seal. And again, you know, a lot of, you know, analysis in the junior parent ranks of the people that I talked to about the fact that I think it, Emily Lauterbach might be the most recent Badger recruit from in-state. But Alexia, number 47 in the country among class of 2022 golfers. And you have to understand, that's a really good class of golfers because it includes Mega Ghana, who played in the U.S. Women's Open, and Alexa Pano, who had two sponsors exemptions to the LPGA event, now defunct up in Green Bay. And you know, it's a pretty solid 1-2. And this young lady is number 47 in that class. So I think Todd Erline's found a good one there. She also played in the U.S. Girls Junior this year.
Yeah, anyone in the top 50, you'd think that they could, you know, go to a lot of different schools. So, yeah, obviously Todd landed a good one there. That's great.
And last but not least, at the Division I level, UW Green Bay adding Max Reese of West De Pere. And I hope I said that right, because Max let me know if I didn't. And Trent Meyer of Maple Northwestern, and previously announced Jenna Anderson of Kettle Moraine High School in Wales, and Ellie Frisch of Middleton, going to play golf for Lee Reinke over there. Lancaster's Noah Kirsch signs with IUPUI. That's a Division I school in Indianapolis. And Thomas Sophie Pokela signs to go to Division II Augustana University in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And then today, Lainey Veenendaal out of New Richmond announces that she is going to join Sophie. So a really good, there aren't many good Division II programs in this part of the country, Gary. Augustana, South Dakota for women is one of them. And so they land two from the state. And finally, Sebastian Kaysen, who we saw play in the state amateur on his home course at Westmore Country Club. He, out of Milwaukee Marquette, signs to play at Division I Loyola. And Jack Glasby of Muskego signs with Division II Purdue Northwest. That's what we have so far. And, you know, signing day just beginning. And in golf, Gary, it starts and it doesn't end. In basketball and football, there are little windows where they can sign to kind of control the whole thing, and but not in golf. So we will certainly see others as we go forward. But always an exciting time. I know it's your favorite time of the year, National Signing Day.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what, though, Rob. You know, I spent a lot of time, and we talked quite a bit about Marquette and Wisconsin, but Lee Reinke's done a heck of a job at Green Bay, hasn't he? What's his secret, Rob? I mean, he's landed some really talented kids. George Kneiser came out of Green Bay. I mean, he's had a bunch of really good players, and on both the women's and the men's side, that's got to be pretty tough to do.
Yeah, he's really amped up the women's side this class with Ellie Frisch and Jenna Anderson on the heels of Kaylee Kitlowski out of Stoughton last year, and he's really close, I think, on three in the next class that could be difference makers for and really elevate that program to NCAA regional status here fairly quickly. And to do that, you have to win the Horizon League, and I think he could do it if he can get those. And the ones that but he's going to replace some solid kids that have gotten better. And that's the thing I look for. I've told you that many times, Gary, is that when I'm advising families about college golf, make sure you're looking at, you know, the coaches. Have they been there a while? The University of Sioux Falls, a Division II women's program, has been very good the last couple of years. But now I see that their coach from the last couple of years has now moved on to one of the programs in Indiana. And so, again, the stability factor at Division II is hard to come by, which is why Augustana has gotten it done. But Lee's provided some stability. He's done his homework on kids. And I've encouraged him to aim higher, but he's trying to find kids that fit in and fit with the kids who are there. As you know, that's not an easy task. Not every kid is a team first player. And that's kind of the kind of golfer that Lee's going after. And I think in Max and Trent, a couple of late bloomers out of West appeared in Maple Northwestern, especially Trent up in the far northwest part of the state. You don't get much recognition there. Kind of like with Ty Kretz out of Marinette, you know, another kid that was trying to get noticed and wound up going to South Dakota State. He just personal guy, easy to relate to if you're, you know, a mom or a dad, and the kids seem to take the Lee Reinke, and I think that's a positive sign. So, got, you know, the Division I program's headed in the right direction, and can't wait to hear as we look towards spring when, that final exam time for colleges in golf is just like the final exams for school. They all come in at the end of April, early May, and you better be ready to perform because that's ultimately what you're judged on. And we'll see if that bears some fruit for these programs here as we hit 2022. That is What's Up, powered by our Instagram page at wis.golf. We've got to move on to what's next here on talking.golf, presented by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Iron Jock, that advanced performance gear infusing pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. Want to learn more? Go to ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. What's next? Powered by our Twitter results handle at wis.golflive. That's where you can find the PGA Tour champions, the PGA of America Assistance National Championship, and other events as we, including that PGA Tour Latino America qualifying school. We'll get to that in a second. The results there: George Kneiser last week, Sam Anderson this week. And you can look at wis.golflive on Twitter for what's next in terms of results. Everything that's posted to wisconsin.golf goes there. Gary D'Amato, you mentioned you drove in snow today. I didn't see snow in your part of the state, but I wouldn't put it past the state of Wisconsin here in November. But I know it's falling in far northwest Wisconsin. It looks like the La Crosse area is getting some. And I tell you what, my Facebook feed has been full of courses closing. It's like, oh my goodness, look at the radar. Let's batten down the hatchets. We're it's time for winter. Are we done?
Yeah. We're not done, but the end is coming. Little snow today, more on the way for the weekend, Rob, and then, but it's supposed to hit 55 next Wednesday, so I just might get another 18 holes in the middle of November, which is a rarity. And I played last week at Blue Mountain in shorts, Rob, in November. Wow. Yeah, that doesn't happen often, as you well know.
Yeah,
you don't even wear long pants anymore, probably. But do you have any?
I had to find some for the Ryder Cup because I thought it was going to be cold. In those first couple of days, it was. I finally wore shorts on Sunday, but they're deep in the closet though down here, and it's been. I mean, again, someone mentioned I think it was Jim Furyk yesterday that they play golf in a bubble here in Phoenix this time of year, and that's why some of these scores are so low and they're doing so well. But Trapper's Turn, the most recent to join the ones that we had on the website early in the week, Wild Rock, University Ridge, Lasonia. There are a couple though that are subscribing to the Gary D'Amato forecast. We're not going to tell you we're closed because we might reopen. And I like those courses. I really like those courses, Gary. The optimistic ones are the ones that I like because there are some courses. Evergreen down in Elkhorn is always one of them. And I think you mentioned Spring Valley down in your next
week.
If it's doable, why not open the course?
Yeah, I agree, Rob. And, you know, Grant Park's another one. My old stomping grounds. Grant is a, you know, it's an open park. Anyone can walk to the first tee. So their philosophy is, if people can walk onto the course and pay, we might as well put someone in the clubhouse and charge them. So Grant really never closes either until the snow piles up. So I just might play Grant Park this coming week, Rob.
Well, I'm glad one of the county courses does, because I thought that Gretzka and Brown Deer were quick on the trigger to close this year. Gretzka was like the first of the county courses to close. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think, they're all going to be closed probably pretty soon, except for Grant. That's going to stay open until we have a foot or more of snow on the ground. So golfers listening, they know, and people in Milwaukee County know, they know which courses stay open and which ones close. So I expect to see a lot. If I do play Wednesday, Rob, I won't be alone. Let's put it that way.
And if he doesn't play Wednesday, folks, Gary D'Amato already looking ahead to 2022. You regaled us with the some opportunities to go just over the pond, as we like to call it here in Wisconsin. It's a smaller pond though, right? To go to play golf.
Yes, it's a small, Lake Michigan, it's a pretty big pond, not as big as the Atlantic Ocean, but I had a nice golf vacation in Michigan recently on the other side of the pond. And, you know, Rob, Michigan has 650 golf courses. When Wisconsin has a lot of golf courses with 450 to 500, somewhere in that range, but Michigan's got a lot more. And the golf isn't maybe as, I call it sensationally publicized as we have, because obviously we've had so many, you know, championships here, and Erin Hills coming online, and Sand Valley Resort, and the Lido, and, you know, there's just tons of great golf now in Wisconsin. But Michigan has great, great golf, especially in the northern part of the state where I like to go. And then, you know, we went over the Mackinac Bridge and played in the UP up in Harris, played Sweetgrass and Sage Run, some of my favorite courses. If people are looking for a place to play and they've played all the Wisconsin courses and want something a little different, you know, the high-speed ferry that goes across the lake in a couple hours will deposit you in Muskegon, and then it's a short drive to, you know, literally a couple hundred great golf courses.
How did you take the ferry? No, you drove up over on the bridge.
No, we took the ferry over, and then we went north and drove up over the bridge and came down through the UP, but we did take the ferry across.
I don't want to scare anybody off, but how did your stomach handle the ferry, the high-speed one?
You know, it wasn't bad, Rob. It was, the lake was really choppy, but that thing is so big and so heavy that, you know, you don't really feel it that much. And it's over in a couple hours, and there's Dramamine for sale if you need it. So I did fine.
You ever take it over with your kids? You know where this is going, Gary. We I'm not going to out one of my kids, but there might've been an upset stomach on our trip over.
Okay. Yeah.
Same,
no, I,
same kid who did the same kid who did the same thing on a flight to back from Phoenix one or into Phoenix one time back when he was really little, but I'm not gonna say who that is, but
but
I love the ferry. I think it's cool, and you're right, and you get in the middle of that lake and it is like you're in the Atlantic.
Yeah, for sure. And it, you know, it sure beats driving down south through Chicago and up around the lake, and it cuts 3 to 4 hours off your drive time if you're going up to northern part of Michigan. So well worth your time and money. It's not cheap, Rob. I think for my wife and I in our car, it was like $320 to take the ferry over.
Wow.
But But I thought the time saving made it worth it.
Well, again, go to wisconsin.golf and check out Gary's story on golf over in Michigan. A couple of great options as you start planning for 2022. And if we continue this boom in golf, you're going to have to look everywhere to find places to play because so many of the tee sheets are starting to fill up so fast. Gary, last but not least, as we look ahead here on what's next, chasing status for 2022. You had it in the sweet spot on Monday. George Kneiser of Oconomowoc, the aforementioned UW Green Bay golfer, earns conditional status at Q School number one, PGA Tour Latino America Q School USA. How about this? Sam Anderson out of Stoughton, former Badger, is T17 right now, pretty much the same status in Q School number two, also down in Florida. But he, because of some weather delays, he's got nine more holes to play. And
wow.
We've talked about the pressure of just being a mini tour golfer, as they like to call him. But can you imagine going to bed tonight, nine holes away from at least having some status to start the year? PGA Tour Latino America tends to have some events early in the year and then later in the year with the middle carved out for these guys who make it on the Canadian Tour. And Sam has played there and probably has some status. So interesting situation for Sam Anderson, but we could have two Wisconsin golfers with at least conditional status.
That'd be great, Rob. And for our listeners, and maybe for me, maybe you could explain why are there two qualifiers, and do they take a certain number from each qualifier, and all those guys are on the tour then?
Yeah, what's different about that tour and the Canadian Tour, and we'll see if this Form Tour or the Form A Tour comes back this year. That was the Canadian version playing stateside because of COVID, but now that the borders are open, we may see that go away. But they take a different approach. They have multiple qualifiers, so you can choose maybe a course that you know or you might benefit you, and then the winner at each of those sites gets exempt status for the first for the entire season on that tour. And then I think it's numbers 2 through 6, perhaps 2 through 7, are exempt through the first reshuffle. And on this tour, they're anticipating that'll be halfway through the schedule, so it's a pretty good chunk to make and be exempt. And then the rest at least get starts here and there based on where they finish in their Q school. So I think anybody from 6, it'll be 8 to 40 then get that opportunity. So again, you got to start somewhere, and it's the game within a game. And it looks like Sam Anderson, George Kneiser will at least have some opportunity to play on a PGA Tour sanctioned tour starting out 2022. But again, after talking with both Jordan Hahn and Cooper Kelly, some changes in whether the family can play with guys that have, status at these TPC courses, it's not quite as lucrative. It's a little bit more challenging. But, I think the other thing that doesn't necessarily relate to Wisconsin golf, Gary, but this global tour, this Saudi Arabia tour that Greg Norman's got behind triggered a response, according to Golf Week, in the last 24 to 48 hours with the PGA Tour announcing that there may be some guaranteed appearance fees for some players in foreign events that they sponsor in response to this. And so you know that the money isn't necessarily going to help, help these guys that are on their way up, unfortunately, because they're trying to protect the brand. And I guess if you don't have the brand at the top, you can't have the guys at the bottom.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you lose, 12 of your top 20 players to a rival league, suddenly TV sets are being turned off because let's face it, the top 15, 20, 25 guys drive the tour. And it's fun when we see a guy that we don't know much about come up and win a tournament or contend, because there's always good stories like that. But I mean, when you're talking about TV ratings and sponsor dollars, we and they want to see the top players in the world.
Well, Gary, I think we've set a record for Talking Dot Golf, and we've done it here in the middle of November when the golf season's about ready to end. But I'm fired up about Jerry Kelly. I'm hopeful for the weekend, and we'll see if he can find something with the putter. I've learned a lot watching Jerry Kelly. I've learned a lot watching Steve Stricker over the years in terms of their swings, their approaches, and it's just a fun time watching him, watching Jerry grind, because there's never been a better grinder to come. He might be the best grinder ever to come out of the state of Wisconsin.
You know, Rob, I've always said, honestly, if you could take Jerry Kelly's head and put it on the shoulders of, I'm just going to pick a guy and say Tony Finau. Tony would have won about 8 majors by now. Jerry just knows how to get it done. He just does. He doesn't have the greatest swing in the world, but he is a bulldog on the golf course.
So we'll see where that goes. Keep checking out the coverage at Wisconsin.golf. And Gary, we'll let you depart to get the snow shovels out of the closet and get ready for what's next back there in Wisconsin. And if I see Chuck again, I'll tell him that, you're open to us sending you some Redfin listings. How's that sound?
That sounds great. That sounds great.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf. Talking.Golf sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. That technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance, even when it snows, ladies and gentlemen. So join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.